Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky and I'm here with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins. Team, how are you doing?
Team, doing pretty well, thank you.
Matt,
you have to start the sentence with team.
Okay. Team.
You can speak normally after that.
Right.
It's kind of like when you're speaking to a walkie-talkie and you have to say over.
Okay.
At the end, but at now you end. Have to say team at the start, and then over at the end. Please, over.
Team, going well? I forgot the question. Is that...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is no good.
This is no good.
Over.
What have I done?
What have you done?
I'm sorry.
But it is great to be back.
Have we broken the course and the curse? Have we passed the course and broken the curse?
Broken the Pharaoh's curse.
Yeah.
Already?
Still. Well, it's been already. Been nearly, a year and a half since.
Already?
The,
doesn't it fly?
It's been a long time since we were cursed by the Pharaoh.
Time flies when you're cursed.
Hmm. It does.
Mm.
One of the many
one of the elements.
You don't get to enjoy life.
Mm. Yeah, because you're cursed.
No, I'm real good.
I don't know about you, but I'm really full of the Indian delight that we just ate.
Mm. Mm.
Jeez, we've got it down to a fine art here.
Haven't we?
Kofta balls.
Yeah. Oh.
In a sauce of some sort.
Medium, not mild. We went medium because we're pretty...
Not spicy at all.
Medium.
Yeah, I reckon we can go... Turn it up a notch.
I reckon the other one was spicy,
yeah,
and that was mild.
And that
it keeps
mild.
Happening, doesn't it?
Yeah.
God, I'll tell you what. Anyway, this is fascinating for the listeners. We shared an Indian meal before we recorded.
We shared more than that.
I had a garlic naan.
What else did we share?
Love.
Oh, great.
And samosas.
Samosas.
Sorry, that's what I was thinking. Go on.
I get those two confused all the time as well.
I samosa you. Dad. Oh, no.
That's so aggressive. Why are you telling your dad you love him so aggressively? I love you. Father.
And then he throws a samosa in his face. Yeah.
Eat up, Dad.
Eat up. That's so threatening.
Sorry.
No, never apologize.
You're a threatening presence, Dave.
I've always said that.
I think anything you say would feel threatening.
Yeah.
To your dad.
Agreed.
Now, Matt, have you been up all night? Because
why are you looking at Jess when you're asking me that?
Sorry. Now, Jess, have you been... No, I'm looking at Matt. I just wanted to have a sweet segue into you've been up all night uploading YouTube videos to our YouTube channel, which we launched a few weeks back.
Yeah, a little while back now. I've been putting up one a day.
Mm.
And there's a few listeners who are going on there on most occasions, writing either Poo Go On or Poo Go Saints on, by 30.
Saints by 30 is on every video. I love it. Poo Go On. And then someone, and the next video, they wrote, like the first one said Poo Go On, then episode two was like Poo Go On in brackets. I said I'd do this. like it's their life's quest.
Do you know what's great is that it pops up on like the web series that I did a couple of years ago as well. Like especially on your episode, Dave, and your episode, Matt, people will write like "Do go on" or like "Poo go on."
That's funny.
It's very cute.
That's our first.
I'm like,
with
yes,
Jess.
We do know each other.
Yes, we do.
People also are doing hashtag Pray for Bob.
Yeah, that's good because I need it.
Angus is saying Saints by 30. Lando is saying Poo Go On.
I love you, Lando.
And Matthew is saying hashtag Pray for Bop.
That's nice.
My favourite part about the whole YouTube channel is the bit of the YouTube saga in that we now have a YouTube channel. And for ages, people kept saying, why have you taken down your YouTube channel? Just to get the record straight, we never had a YouTube channel. There was a pirate YouTube channel with a very homemade logo, which I enjoyed.
As opposed
you enjoyed it because it was just pictures of you.
It was. They got a picture of me on Google Images and then written Do Go On next to it. And I was like, this is how the show should be promoted.
But it's also funny that you're making fun of it for being homemade. Where did our one get made? Where did our official logo get made?
In a professional studio.
Yes, thank you.
God.
Oh. Yeah.
But no. Ours is very homemade. So
we are getting a pro to get updated to make Dave's shoddy work. Take it up to scratch.
Yeah.
And beyond.
We are so sorry for the shoddy work.
All right. Would you like to do everything?
No, thank you.
those dozens of images on our YouTube channel that I made them all.
I like those.
I do not
those
know how to do that.
Yeah, those ones are great. I'll take it all back.
Thank you. Thank you. But anyway, if you want to get involved, we are on YouTube now. You can subscribe to our channel. We're also going to be putting up other videos and stuff, you know, throughout the rest of the year. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. No promises.
Yeah, no promises. Please don't hold me to that.
But you should get on there and subscribe.
That would be cool. We are closing in on the subscribers that the pirate YouTube channel had. We would like to overtake them.
I like it. Yeah, pirate. I'm sure it was just some lovely fan. I don't think it was. I actually think a bot put it together somehow. Somehow there's a bot trawling the internet for pods.
That can't be
and turning
true.
Them into YouTubes. Yeah, it's just
probably just
scrolling.
For clicks and ads and stuff, yeah.
Because they were putting in their videos, they were throwing ads every 5 minutes or something. There was a lot of red lines. A lot of ads.
Interesting.
We wouldn't do that. This week's episode is brought to you
by our YouTube channel. Check it out. Hey, let's get into the show.
All right, Matt, your turn to report.
Yes, it is. And you know how I always ask the best questions?
That's true.
That's probably your claim to fame, which I enjoy.
Yep.
So the question this week is maybe the best one I've ever asked, and it's pretty vague, and it's not going to it's unlikely that your answer is going to be the topic.
Great.
I'd almost guarantee that it won't be unless there's been a real weird quirk of fate. But here's the question. What is the biggest secret you've ever kept?
Oh, God.
My real identity.
I am secretly Spanish tennis superstar Juan Carlos Ferrero.
Oh, great name. Why do you go by... Did you have that ready to go? Do you look like him? Or is that just you?
I don't look like
starting
him.
A sentence and seeing
yeah,
where it went.
Yeah, where it goes.
I was a secret for a while, with my my first boyfriend.
Oh, ashamed of you, he was.
There's a difference between a secret and a secret shame.
Yeah, Jess. I was a secret shame.
Was he cheating on someone with you?
No.
Oh, okay.
As in, he didn't tell his parents.
Oh.
For a year.
He didn't tell his parents.
That's a long time.
It's a long time.
He didn't tell his parents he was cheating on someone with you for a whole year.
For a whole year.
Why
they
did he have
know.
To tell them? So for a whole year.
Yeah.
So
I just remember that then, and it's funny, but it's also like, oh.
What was the problem?
Well, the problem was me.
But is it because he couldn't have any girlfriend, or because of you?
No, it wasn't.
Was he like a Hasidic Jew or something, and you weren't of the right
was
faith?
He an Hasidic Jew?
Is that not a thing? I said Hasidic.
Yeah, I know.
Is that a thing?
It does sound a little bit like you said acidic.
Well, maybe I did.
He's got to work out his pH level. It's all over the shop.
He's so acidic. Got acid reflux all the time.
Real acerbic Jew.
So acidic.
Was it a religion?
No. I think it was just, I don't know. I really don't know.
Were you young? Were you quite
young?
Yeah,
high school. So yeah. 17. Well, probably 18 to 19.
Eight, and he couldn't tell his parents.
No, not that he couldn't. It was that he chose not to.
All right, that's even worse.
They were very nice once they knew
I existed.
Did
you ever bring it up?
Yeah.
Did he seem to like you day to day?
Well, yeah. He stayed with me for a further 5 years after that.
Did you ever stay over?
So, no. God, no.
Because that would be amazing. This is my sister. okay. I think we would know.
This is my sister.
He's saying that to his parents.
Yeah.
I get why that's funny.
Anyway, this is... <Yes, sorry. laughs> I get why that's funny.
One time when I was in a band, when I was 14 and we were at a recording studio for one day to record something, I was in the John, or the toilet, and...
he says that like, or as you yeah. idiots like to call it.
Let me translate.
The bathroom.
I knocked a... They had extra toilet rolls sitting on top of the toilet and I knocked one into the bowl and I didn't know what to do. So I hid it behind the system.
Good one.
Behind the toilet, and yeah, I ran out, and I haven't told anyone since.
Let it dry out, and then they can use it.
Yeah, even though it had been in my pissy bowl. All right, mate, you wanted my confession. Now you look at me like you don't.
No, I didn't. If anyone wants to know what regret face sounds like, this is it.
Matt, can you tell us your biggest secret?
No.
Okay.
Certainly not.
Interesting.
Certainly not. Because I keep mine.
I'm no good.
Unlike you bloody loose lips over here.
In my defense, I was the secret in mine. So I kind of kept me, didn't I?
My secret is that if I really want something and I picture it, I just get it. No, that's the secret. Sorry. So this week's episode is sort of about a secret that builds up to that. But I just for a little bit of sizzle on that, I was going to read out the opening paragraph from a Washington Post article about this story.
Wow.
Which really got me hooked into it very quickly. I should say this was suggested by listener Josh at JoshJones87 on Twitter. He suggested a few, and I think this might be the first one that's got through.
Good on you, Josh. Spam that hat.
We just said the same thing.
Oh, my goodness.
What are the odds?
With somebody that you spend so much time with that we would possibly think the same thing.
But do you really know me?
I think I do.
After the way I treated that boy in high school.
Do you reckon we are the people that you spend the most time with, aside from your girlfriend who you live with?
And your workmates.
Oh, good one. Fuck.
Yeah, I'm at work 47 hours a week.
Yeah, that's probably a lot.
But socially,
Peter Hellier number two after you? Would he be second in charge if your girlfriend left your house?
Yeah, would you?
Yep, I trust Pete. He's a great guy.
Okay, so this is the opening paragraph from... It's a very short paragraph, really, but it's from this Washington Post article I quite enjoyed.
Okay.
I read a bunch of articles I quite enjoyed, because this is a real fascinating story. Anyway, here it goes. Small towns are reputed to be close, almost like family. Residents stick together. They have your back. They protect you. They keep your secrets.
Oh, yeah! This is fucking cool, and I'm jealous of the listener because they've seen what this episode's called.
The episode is called... Well, I don't know what the episode's going to be called. I'll probably ask you guys what it should be called.
But that is a cool... That would suck me in too.
But the episode is about... Or the suggestion was, just two words, mm-hmm. the name of this man, Ken McElroy.
McElroy.
He's already stuffed it.
Have I built up enough suspense and tension?
It's the secret that you've been mispronouncing his name the whole time?
Yeah, it's written in this report a lot. If you guys... Anyway.
McElroy.
Have you heard of Ken McElroy? I haven't.
Ken Rex McElroy was born on June the 1st, 1934, in Nodaway County, Missouri, in the United States of America.
Oh.
The old U.S. of America. I've read that he was the 15th child in a family of 16, but I've also read that he was one of 13 kids.
Both too many kids. You know how I feel about big families. Yeah.
Do they know what was causing it? That's my favourite joke of all time.
No, don't say that. Dad'll hear that and go,
It was a John joke.
It's a John joke.
That's great.
Do I know what's causing
it? I love it. I love it. Good on you, John. You're funny. That's where your daughter gets it.
Ken's parents were farmers named Tony and Mabel. Great.
Mabel.
Great name.
Tony's pretty good.
You don't get enough
Hang
Mabels.
On. But Tony was the one who I was a secret for. So his name was Tony. So
you named and shamed.
Yeah, fuck it. But Mabel, good name.
Tony's also the one who's been causing it. But they don't know what it is.
It took me a sec, but now I get it. Sex.
Yeah, with Mabel. The best kind.
He grew up in Skidmore in the northwest of Missouri, about 100 miles from Kansas City.
I'd nickname the town Skidmark.
Skidmark, ooh.
Ooh, derogatory.
Skidmore is a really small town. It's got a population that has steadily shrunk from around 500 at the 1940 census to an estimated 272 around in 2015, a couple of years ago.
Really? The rest of them got flushed. It's a skid park. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, no. I thought you were talking about cars.
Oh.
So you were like, what could that possibly have to do with cars?
I'm confused by both of you.
Sorry. I'll stop contributing.
He dropped out of school in year 8 at the age of 15, and over the following decades, he established a reputation in the town as a real bad guy.
Oh.
Being accused of burglary of things like booze, grain, petrol, and livestock. He's a cattle rustler.
That's stealing quite a bit. Of a real variety of.
Apparently, he's also
thieving.
A bit of a raccoon hunter.
Sure.
Is that legal?
I think that one might be fine. I don't think that was right. On his rap sheet.
That was just on his list of hobbies.
Yeah, I think that's how he made some of his some of his money.
He maybe. Also enjoyed NFL.
There, to be honest, there's been, like, across all the reports, there were inconsistencies throughout, but there were things that sort of flowed through them all. So I've tried to keep it all together. I think the story is, you know, is relatively level, but we'll let me go on. He was reportedly always basically unemployed, yet never short of cash. He used to carry around wads of cash.
Is that because he's a criminal? He's getting money from
I think the idea
rustling?
Is that he... Yeah, there was one wag who said when someone was... Wags are... That's what people say sometimes when someone says a funny quip.
They're a wag.
Oh, what a wag. And I... It's an old person term.
Right.
That's why
you'd know
I said it, yeah. Someone had said that he was talking about some of the jobs he had. He used to sell antiques and stuff, and a local goes, yeah, but who's antiques?
Oh, jeez.
What a wag.
Dave, jump in.
Antiques. That's like his first and surname.
Dave's a bit of a wag.
Oh, it's a picture. Can we all do that anytime one of us makes a joke now for the rest of the episode? That will not get boring to the listeners at all.
Very good.
Look, I'm voting no.
Okay, interesting.
But
this is a democracy, so I respect that.
It wasn't like he escaped the attention of the authorities, though. On 21 occasions, charges were brought upon him, but on every occasion, he escaped conviction.
21 times.
Blackjack.
Yeah. All right, you know the rules. 21 times off, you can't get me for anything.
Basically, anyway.
What do you mean that's not a rule? Sorry, Matty.
That's all right. I'm just remembering, you guys are like, how are your short reports always so long? It's because I think you guys quip after every sentence and sometimes mid-sentence, which is fine. I enjoy it. But I'm just.
Can I just stop you there to do a quip? Jess.
Can I just quip you there?
I'll quip you right there, sir.
So I said 21, but yeah, on the 21st occasion was a little bit different, and I'll talk about that later. His attorney, Richard McFadden, later said that he defended Rex, Ken Rex, from about 3 or 4 felony convictions a year.
Oh, so he's keeping him in work, practically. Is he just following Ken around?
I think, yeah.
Just like picking up cases.
He's from one of the bigger towns in the state, but he I think he must just come down. He's on retainer.
Ken, how are you?
Yep, what do we got? What do you got for me?
Yeah, what are we doing? Give me a wad of cash.
Oh, you've had a haircut.
He's also, apparently he bragged about how he's also defended members of the mob as well, this guy. So he got bad people off. I'm being a bit judgy there. I don't know if the mob are necessarily bad people.
He got bad people off, did he?
Everyone's got their price.
That's
classic wag.
That is a classic wag.
What a quip.
quip.
What a whip.
His lawyer was obviously very good at getting criminals off. But that wasn't the only reason McElroy escaped conviction on serious charges every year. He became known as the town bully. That was his nickname, the town bully.
What a nickname. Boy, town bully, what are you having? Yeah. Pint? We'll get it for you.
Maybe he might have become known as that. Yeah, it would be weird if people were calling it.
TB. Wait, TB, what up?
Damn bully.
But he got that nickname as he would intimidate any townspeople who stood up to him or disagree with him. And this included people who were set to testify against him in court. Now, he wasn't afraid to resort to violence either, or threats of violence.
I wonder how he would intimidate. Like, maybe he would just put on a sheet and stand at their door and go, ooh.
He was a huge guy, big, tall guy, big, muscly guy.
Okay,
big,
so more like,
big, bushy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Brr.
Brr. One of the ways, apparently, that he often did it, apart from, you know, going, hey, check out my gun, he'd
hey, check out my gun. I'm not testifying.
He would also follow witnesses and accusers around, park outside their homes and just watch them.
Good. That is intimidating. That's actually like really fucking
that
scary.
That is fucked, right?
It feels like it should be illegal. Aren't people? Shouldn't they stop him from this?
Yeah, well, this is the main thing. He's just, it seems like the cops hassled him a lot, and they, like, he charges were brought against him, but he kept getting off. He never was put away, but he was spent a lot of time in the legal system. In 1976, when McElroy was accused... Can you hear the slight pause every time before I say his
you're
name?
You're thinking about it. Yeah. It's like every time I say Thames.
McElroy. It's a great name, but geez, it looks like McElroy. No, it doesn't. McElroy. In 1976, when McElroy was accused of shooting local farmer Romaine Henry in the chest, he was charged with assault with intent to kill. So apparently the story was that... McElroy was on this guy, Henry's property, and Henry's going, mate, piss off. Get off my property. And he goes, nah, and shot him.
Fair enough.
Look, to be honest, I'm kind of paraphrasing it, but that was basically what it was. According to Henry, in the lead up to the trial, McElroy parked outside Henry's home on more than 100 occasions.
100?
This is according to Henry. I don't know. I don't know if old Henry was...
After shooting him 100 times, he parked at the front.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
Going, you should drop these charges.
That's
whatever.
Really scary. Yeah.
100 times. But yeah, I don't like, this is Henry's word. I don't know who he is and whether or not he's prone to hyperbole.
Hyperbole.
Did it work?
Was he
intimidated? Did he drop the charges?
He didn't drop the charges.
Legend.
Henry was like, nah, mate. Mm. But in court, two raccoon hunters gave McElroy an alibi.
What?
Testifying they were with McElroy the day of the shooting. McElroy was acquitted.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So again, he wasn't able to intimidate Henry, but maybe he was able to influence the raccoon hunters.
God damn.
When McElroy was in his late 30s, maybe I'll call him Ken Rex, because that's what he was sort of known as around town.
Whatever's more comfortable for you.
When Ken Rex was in his late 30s, he'd already fathered more than 10 children to multiple women.
Oh.
And he was married to his third wife, Alice.
Oh.
Yeah, this bit's a bit fucked, sorry.
10 kids.
Not that bit, this next bit.
No.
Jess is already like, oh, no.
Oh, I forget. Yuck. Yeah, you don't like having a lot of kids. Even if it's in multiple families?
No, that's... It's more that he's, just got all these different women. All of these different women in a very difficult situation.
In different... Yeah, just a big, intimidating guy.
That's not nice.
And it's just, I mean, without knowing the facts.
Lucky third wife, Alice.
Yeah, well...
Okay, oh no. Oh no, Alice does not fare well.
No, Alice is... Okay.
Okay.
So at this time, he's married to his third wife, Alice. Alice, I've read, she can't even be sure if they were legally married or not. But anyway.
She can't be sure.
That's some wedding night. I don't even know if I got married yesterday. Woo!
Anyway, So at At this time, he met a 12-year-old girl named Trina McLeod.
No.
And within a couple of years, she was pregnant.
Oh, no.
He then brought Trina to his house to live with him and Alice.
Oh, he divorced. 14.
Yeah, he divorced Alice to marry Trina. But they still lived together. What? Apparently, this was because, as his wife, the court wouldn't be able to compel Trina to testify against him in the statutory rape case.
Oh,
but
God.
But you also, can you marry a 14-year-old?
As she was underage.
Oh.
Though he wasn't able to marry her without parental consent. So there are a few conflicting versions of what happened next, but many of them suggest that Ken Rex went to her parents' house while they were away, shot the family dog, and burnt the house down.
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Why?
To get them to say yes.
Some say that he did that after he'd sort of intimidated them, and some of them said before to try and intimidate them into saying yes. Some said that he did that, they still refused, and he threatened to burn down their new house, and that's what got them to... Like, there was a few different sort of stories, and a lot of them come back to, like, there's a lot of different articles about this, but they're quoting very few sources, so it's hard to know exactly what to trust. In a People magazine article, Trina angrily denied that Ken burnt down her stepfather's house, saying it was an unfounded rumour. She said it was just faulty wiring.
She's 14. She doesn't know what unfounded means.
Yeah, I mean, she's saying this years later, but at the time, who knows, you know, if he's keeping that from her. Like, I don't think she was there. Yeah. So it's just hard to know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I'm hoping that something really bad's going to happen to this dude.
However...
Matt gave no clues then with his face.
However, it did happen. She got consent from the parents, and they were married. And charges against McElroy at that time for statutory rape and arson, amongst other things, didn't stick. That was some of those earlier charges that didn't result in jail time or any conviction at all. In 1980, this is sort of where it starts hotting up a bit. This is kind of the key part of the story. Mm. In 1980, at a grocery store in town, one of Ken Rex's daughters got in a fight with a worker at the shop named Evelyn Sumi. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Fuck. Mm. In 1980, at a grocery store in town, one of McElroy's daughters got caught up in an argument with a worker at the shop. Her name was Evelyn Sumi. The argument was allegedly about McElroy's daughter trying to steal some candy, apparently. The store was owned by an elderly couple named Ernest and Lois Bowenkamp.
Okay. Without knowing anything about them, I love them.
Can you imagine them sitting up the back of the store, like in rocking chairs?
Ernest and Lois. They are so cute. I reckon they do crosswords together every Sunday morning.
There is some sort of vibe about those.
I reckon they're bloody adorable. They're just like a sweet old couple, you know?
I just trust them.
I reckon they're still in love. After all this time, you know? Like, he still makes her laugh and... You know?
I know.
Oh, God, I love them. Sorry, Matt, do go on.
No, that's fine. I agree.
I just want to be like Ernest and Lois. I can only...
Apparently they were very well loved in the town.
Oh, of course they were.
Ernest's nickname was Bo.
Oh, I was going to call him Ernie, but Bo's good.
You're not going to love this next bit.
Oh, no.
After the incident, Ken Rex started stalking the Bowenkamp family. The stalking escalated into McElroy confronting Ernest Bo Bowenkamp, armed with a shotgun. And the confrontation ended with McElroy shooting the 70-year-old Bowenkamp in the neck.
I'd like to say that Ernest pulled through, but I'm guessing he probably didn't.
Bowenkamp lived.
No!
Yeah.
A further 8 minutes.
Really?
He did. He lived. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy.
This guy's not a great shot. He shot a dude in the chest. Didn't die.
He lived. Shot in the neck
with a shotgun. Jesus.
And McElroy was then charged with attempted murder. After that. This was the 21st charge.
Lucky 21.
And it went to trial, where McElroy was convicted.
Unlucky 21.
Of the lesser charge of assault, for some reason.
Well, I mean, we'll take a win where we can, I guess. Oh, I'm just so glad Bo's alive.
Bo's alive.
I've never been so immediately invested in a person in one of our stories, but I just wanted him to be okay. And then when he's not gonna like this, and then he got shot, I was like, I don't know what the world is anymore. But he's okay. He's probably dead now, though.
Yeah, I think
he was 70 in 1980.
So.
Yeah, he's probably dead. Probably.
There's a possibility.
Oh, and he could still be kicking.
I guess, but, you know, he had a good innings regardless, I reckon.
Anyway, but this is similar to an episode we had like a month or so back when it was like, it was one of mine as well, I think, where for some reason, so he's found guilty, basically. He's convicted.
Mm.
But his lawyer filed an appeal and he was released on bail pending the appeal.
No.
I don't know.
Let him out.
I know.
It seems so weird. It's like once you've been convicted, it feels like then...
You got to prove your innocence, pal. We proved you're guilty already.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels a bit funny. Anyway, after
But we'll let you out until you can prove you're innocent. That makes no sense at all.
Yeah, I don't quite get it. And in this case, yeah.
Hmm.
It's like, especially with, it's a guy who just shot someone in a shop.
Mm.
What, you're just releasing him back into the community?
Mm.
You found him guilty. He's convicted, as far as I understand. It almost makes it sound like... Yeah, anyway, it's very confusing.
Very confusing.
After being released, McElroy went to the D&G Tavern. That was his local drinking hole.
The D&G. D and G?
D and G.
The...
Dogs and Gods.
Fuck, you nailed it in one. D&G. The Doors and Gargoyles. Not my best.
Admittedly.
You were so fast. You didn't even... Try again.
Dogs and Gods.
A different one. Dave and Gods.
The Duck and Goose.
Oh, fuck, he's good. That's adorable.
Duck and Goose is really good.
I'd go to the Duck and Goose.
I bet you that's a pub in England somewhere, right?
Okay, all right, here we go again. The...
David and Goliath.
Fuck! How are you so good at this? You're so talented. Okay, all right, I got it. The...
Dolce and Gabbana.
Oh, yes! Right there, the D&G.
Fuck! The...
Have we done Dog and Gun?
No,
that's a good one.
That's a good one. That's a real one. I've been there in...
I thought this one's going to be called.
In England.
Do you know what it's called?
I should really look that up. You should see it, though. It looks like a shed. No,
I can't think of a single one.
I think you just... By the end of the episode... I think we'll finish the episode with your.
Oh, that sounds great!
No.
Yeah.
We'll go out with that right at the end because I think that'll be a nice little bow.
So Jess will be silent for the next 35 minutes. What do you think about this?
D&G. Okay. But see, it's got to be. They can't be rhyming, but they got to go together like Duck and Goose, David and Goliath, Dolce and Gabbana. These are all good ones. Okay, who's a famous person has the letters D&G? Okay, hang on. Okay. I got
Dahmer and Greg.
Fuck!
That's the best laugh I've ever heard Dave do. He really got into it.
I loved her. Fuck, like, goddamn it. She's so pissed off.
No, I'm not. I'm like, I'm in awe and mad at myself.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you're jumping, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
Anyway, go on with the story.
So we went drinking at the D&G.
Yes, so this is sort of regular. He'd often sit there. And I read that people who worked there said he'd often be pretty quiet. He was kind of not intimidating and like quite loud. He'd be more likely to whisper at you and just stare at it, like stare with his dead eyes. People called his eyes dead eyes a lot. He stared at you with his dead eyes and whispered.
That's scary.
So he's a whisperer, a quiet starer. Does he have friends, do you reckon? Does anyone like him? Or is people just scared of him?
Yeah, I mean, he's from a big family, but I think he gets on all right with his... Some of his kids chose to live with him after they split with ex-partners. But, you know, there's not...
Dad just has... Dad's house is more fun, Mum. Dad has the guns. You just try to make me eat vegetables, do my homework.
Dad just shoots the vegetables.
Dad lets me shoot cans and sometimes other kids.
Anyway, so is it the D&G Tavern, local...
Having a couple of bevvies.
And he was there armed with a rifle and at the bar, drinking there with his gun.
Of course he was.
And allegedly started mouthing off a bit about what he was going to do to punish Ernie Bowenkamp.
Uh-oh. That's the one Jess likes.
for the part he played in his arrest, basically. And I think as far as I can tell, the only part he really played in the arrest was being shot in the neck.
Yeah, for getting in the way of my bullets.
Yeah, which is...
What? Leave Ernie alone. I like him.
His appeal, I think the lawyer was sort of using tactics to delay the appeal, to sort of extend his freedom before the trial. That's how I read it,
so
anyway.
So the lawyer was doing a lot of, what's that?
Yeah.
What's that out there? Look.
Nope, court adjourned. Do it for a whole sitting day in the court. That's what they do.
Have Your sitting Honor, days. I would love to do this trial today, but I forgot my pen.
It's over there. Look.
He spent 6 hours going, look, mister, we're not going to look again. And he's like, no, this one, I'm serious.
I swear.
They look and he's like, 5 o'clock, gotta go.
Back to the D&G. On a summer's morning in 1981, McElroy had his appeal hearing delayed again, extending his freedom. In response, the townspeople were getting a bit, you know, anxious about it, feeling a bit antsy, maybe a little bit peeved even. They weren't sure that justice has been done over the last 21 attempts to put this guy away.
Interesting they may feel that way.
So in response, the townspeople met at the Legion Hall.
Oh, a town meeting about him.
Yeah. Organised by the townsfolk.
Oh, townsfolk is also just a fun thing to say, isn't it?
It
can't
is
say
fun.
That in Melbourne. Come along, townsfolk. There's too many of us in a small town.
Not when even the MCG's going to hold us.
300 and something people. Then you can.
Townsfolk.
And they keep talking about it like this town, because it's so small, it's really close. It's like a big family.
Mm.
Everyone knows each other. Everyone is sort of looking out for each other.
They're probably all related.
And this, but they just see this guy, he's just been a real, you know, real bad seed.
Mm-hmm.
So at the Legion Hall meeting, what they talked about isn't 100% clear now, but from what I heard, most are saying that things were discussed about what they could do to keep the witnesses safe and also the townspeople safe from Ken Rex.
That's
in general.
It's insane that he's that, like, that scary and that they have to...
That 30, 40, 50, however many people are meeting to talk about. It's like, yeah. It's really interesting. And apparently a local sheriff, the local county sheriff, Dan Estes, was there as well. It is said that Sheriff Estes instructed the meeting that they shouldn't get into a direct conflict with McElroy, said that's a bad idea, and he suggested they instead form a neighbourhood watch, and then he left the meeting, apparently.
Smart.
While the meeting was occurring, McElroy rocked up to the nearby D&G tavern again. So he's
always at the pub.
He's had his court thing delayed.
Mm-hmm.
Case, if you will.
Appeal. I prefer a court thing.
Yeah, okay, great.
Your Honor, I'm here for that court thing.
Your Honor. Is that a Missourian accent?
No, that was
accent?
A terrible accent.
Yeah, was that attempted an American accent of sorts?
Yeah, I thought it was...
What would I don't know what the Missourian accent would be.
I don't know.
I think if you rewind the podcast about 20 seconds now, you hear an exact Missourian accent.
So the meeting was occurring. McElroy has rocked up to the D&G tavern again with his wife, Trina, now in her early 20s. And word of this came through to the people at the meeting. They heard that he was down there at the pub. So the townsfolk decided to disregard Sheriff Estes's advice.
Oh, dear.
And they went to the bar group, basically filling the bar around him, sitting there at the bar, which I imagine would have been pretty intimidating for...
Very awkward,
the guy used to being the intimidating guy. So he finished up his drink and left the bar with Trina. He climbed back into his pickup truck and McElroy turned the ignition of his truck and went to grab a cigarette. And in that moment, gunshots rang out.
Oh.
So sitting in the truck outside the D&G Tavern on the morning of July 10th, 1981, Ken Rex McElroy was shot in the head, instantly going from town bully to town dead guy sitting in his truck.
Every town needs one.
Yeah, and you know, they had theirs. Trina later told People magazine, she said, "I started to scream. I said to Ken, 'They've got a gun.' I think he kind of knew what was going to happen. He didn't show any fear. He never said a word." He's a real interesting character.
Wow.
Then I read that some of the townspeople sort of took Trina out of the car.
Afterwards?
No ambulance was called. There are no local cops, apart, you know, the county sheriff's office or whatever. So they just, you know, shot him and left him there.
Wow.
But the whole town meeting was around, and then people in shops... Like, a lot of people saw it. According to a report by the McClatchy News Agency, at the scene, county sheriff's deputies and highway patrol troopers found shell casings from a .22 caliber Magnum and an 8mm Mauser, which was a German World War One era long-range rifle.
What?
So two shooters.
Two shooters. They said one shooter had been positioned behind McElroy's truck. Another stood a half
behind
block down the street.
Knoll.
Yeah, basically, half block down the street.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's the long-range rifle?
And there may have been others. So they said that, I think, they thought that multiple shooters.
Wow.
This is amazing.
That's incredible.
Different reports have suggested there were between 30 and 60 witnesses to the murder, but Trina was the only witness who said... They saw who the shooter was. The rest of the town refused to talk. This is the big secret.
I like the idea of the sheriff going, "Guys, come on. Who did it? Who did? Hey,
put your hand up."
I know he was a petty, but you won't be in trouble. Just who did it?
You won't be in trouble. I just want to know.
I just want to know who did. Come on.
People wow. really wanted to find out, because although some would say, you know, he had it coming or whatever. many others say it's never okay to take the law into your own hands.
Yeah. And you know what is interesting as well? So there was at least a couple of shooters, if not more.
Yep.
Wouldn't you, as the shooters, also be thinking, like, did I get him?
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole idea when you have someone who's shot.
Shooting squad.
A shooting squad is that one of them has a blank in their gun. So when you all fire, you can all tell yourself, I wasn't the one who shot him. So there's 10 people with rifles. One of them has a fake bullet.
Only one has a fake bullet.
I've heard it was even more than that. It was only one. I thought it was one with live and the rest fake. Well, that might be wrong.
Oh, but if you only shoot, if only one person shoots and just gets their arm, then nothing. You know what I mean? But like, yeah. If 10 people shoot you,
right,
you're likely to die very quickly.
But also just the fact that 10 people are shooting also means that...
Yeah, also, but like you can also like just have the peace of mind that maybe you weren't the one who killed that man.
And you do that every day. And the odds...
yeah, exactly.
Every day.
Every
like,
day.
Yeah, still just... I think I keep getting the blanks.
I get the blank every time.
Every time.
I'm shooting blanks.
I'm shooting blanks.
What can I say?
I do it at home. I do it at work. I'm shooting blanks. I'm so sad.
I just want to kill people and make people pregnant.
And I just...
I can't give life. I can't take life. What's the point of it? What's the point of it all?
Nah, it's fun to laugh at firing squads, isn't it?
Oh, you gotta. You gotta.
You gotta laugh.
If you don't laugh at firing squads, you'll cry at
firing yeah, exactly.
squads. Mm, crying squads.
And if you don't cry at
crying squads. Just get a game
Hur-yay, hur-yay.
Crying, good.
Thank you. A few months earlier... David Baird was asked if he would be keen to be the new prosecuting attorney of Nottoway County. I'm calling so many of the words in this. I'm pronouncing them differently every time. Nottoway, Nottoway.
How do you spell his surname?
Baird. B-A-I-R-D.
Very good.
Baird.
Can I hear it in a sentence?
So he was apparently... He was asked if he'd be keen for that job, the prosecuting attorney of the county, but he wasn't super keen. He was only 27, just a kid in many ways. He was single. He had the freedom to go anywhere in the world, basically, with his work. He just sort of got through law school. So he wasn't super keen to take the job. He didn't want to, you know, be locked down in a small town in Missouri near basically where he grew up. Mm. He was sort of thinking... Exploring, I guess. But his father persuaded him to take the job, basically saying it'd be pretty cushy. He goes, nothing much happens around here anyway.
Oh no, is that the case of the century?
3 months later, the murder of Ken Rex McElroy in Skidmore landed Baird in the middle of a case that shocked America, making headlines across the country. Soon after, Baird made the statement, we feel confident that this ultimately will be resolved. He was feeling good about it.
I like to imagine him sitting... at his desk, like listening to all the evidence, and he's just got like a pros and cons list. Like, as people just say something in defense, he's like, oh, that's a good point.
Right? Yeah.
And then they say something like, well, actually, Ron, he's like, oh, very good point over here.
To me, it's so funny that he was convinced by his dad going, it'll be real cushy, man.
Yeah.
He said, but isn't that the whole reason he didn't want to do it? Because he wanted a challenge?
It seems strange. Isn't it? You're single, you're young, you do anything you want.
You're young, go
take a cushy job in a tiny town.
You're right, Dad, I'll do it.
Yeah.
He wasn't based in Skidmore. Skidmore. He was based in a slightly bigger town, but still in a small town. Maybe Marysville or something like that. Soon after he convened the first grand jury, Nottoway County had seen in 20 years. So he landed with a real bang. There was a huge investigation. The FBI conducted more than 100 interviews, plus there was a coroner's inquiry, a local grand jury, and a federal grand jury, all of which failed to return any indictments, despite Trina McElroy fingering Del Clement, a part owner of the D&G Tavern and a rancher.
Del.
Who she said was one of the shooters.
D&G.
Oh, that's what it'll be. D will be Del, and the G would be...
Graham.
Greg.
Fuck.
Graham. Graham's
no,
better.
You're right.
Del and Graham.
Del and Greg is much better.
Del and Greg.
Fuck,
I'm just
good.
I'm still on Dharma and Greg, I think.
So I was so distracted by you saying that she fingered someone. it's still funny every time. But what happened?
She said that one of the owners of the D&G.
Oh, she said
she saw him. She's the one she eyeballed and fingered.
Right.
With Del Clement, part owner of the D&G.
Gotcha.
But despite that, despite her having her as an eyewitness, no one else corroborated her story.
Wow.
So despite there being a coroner's jury, a local grand jury, and a federal grand jury, and over 100 interviews with the FBI, still...
no one cracked.
No one cracked.
Wow. That's amazing. That's
that
awesome.
That is actually incredible that nobody gave in.
Out of that many people.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So that's basically the story. Well, I mean, what do you guys think? I've got a little bit to talk about.
You'd think someone would cave.
Yeah.
You would really think somebody would give in.
Do you think... Where do you stand on that? Like,
I'm amazed, actually.
Would you crack, do you think? Or would you be like... Because in a way, on the other side, you're sort of, the pressure's on you to stick together.
Yeah, exactly.
As soon as one cracks, then there'd be...
Yeah, you're right. You're right. If there's that many, if there's like four of you, I'd probably crack.
And also, if you genuinely thought that this guy was making everyone's life hell.
And he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I reckon he deserved it.
It's fucking tricky. But I mean,
absolutely it is.
Then I wonder what, you know, if he was alive to tell the tale... He probably would have said he was a misunderstood guy.
I'm sure he would say that.
You sound like a terrible guy.
So Harry McLean wrote a best-selling book about this case, which I think helped bring it to a bigger audience.
Mm.
And when asked about who actually pulled the trigger, McLean said, "I personally believe it's a mistake to put too much emphasis on who pulled the trigger, suggesting that if it hadn't happened that day, it would have been someone else the next day."
Yeah.
According to the Washington Post, McLean doesn't think the killing was a planned vigilante action on the part of the townspeople. He thinks two or three people got impulsive that day and that the town showed its loyalty by closing its ranks around them. Mm. McElroy was buried in Memorial Park Cemetery, St. Joseph in Missouri. Missouri is a cool sounding state. In 1984, Trina filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the town, the county, Sheriff Estes, the mayor, and Del Clement for millions and millions of dollars. The case was settled out of court without anyone admitting guilt for the relatively modest sum of $17,600.
That's not that much, is it? She wanted millions.
Because you do feel bad for the kids. There's heaps of them, right?
Yeah.
There's heaps of kids, also...
Heaps of wives, heaps of broken marriages.
Like, I mean, she... She was so young.
I know.
He basically took her out of school. Anyway, Trina remarried and is said to have lived a really happy family life before dying of cancer on her 55th birthday in 2012.
Wow.
Richard Stratton, a retired Missouri Highway Patrol trooper, had several run-ins with McElroy and has said this of that fateful day. "Those were fathers and grandfathers on the street in Skidmore that day. Ordinary, hard-working people. They did what they did because we didn't do our job, we being the cops. Then they went home and kept their mouth shut and kept them closed all these years." So he's basically saying, I get why they did it. It's because we, the police force or the, you know, the sheriff's department and the highway patrol, the justice system didn't get the job done.
Wow.
Bocamp's wife, Lois, said justice was done at the time.
Lois.
She was fine with it.
Wow.
But he wasn't murdered in the end, was he?
He wasn't murdered.
He was okay.
He threatened to get him again, but didn't.
And I thought, I'm just going to finish with this little quote from a New York Times article, which was by the Cheryl Houston, who was, I think, Bocamp's daughter, one of his daughters. She said, "Once the shroud of silence fell, there was going to be no one talking." And she actually watched the killing from her family's grocery store.
Wow.
But like everyone else, she said she didn't see the gunman. "They could have pushed and dug and gotten nothing. We were so bitter and so angry at the law letting us down that it came to somebody taking matters into their own hands," she said. "No one has any idea what a nightmare we lived."
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a fascinating but super fucked story.
Yeah, wow. I'd never heard of any of that.
No, that is really fascinating.
And it's still, people have thought someone's going to talk on their deathbed.
Eventually.
They're going to either want to say, I did it, or say, I need to get this off my conscience. But no, it's still no one has.
No one feels that it weighs on their conscience.
Yeah, I guess that's why.
Such a piece of work.
Yeah, they're not thinking, I'm not getting in heaven for this.
Do you reckon?
Or whatever people makes people do that.
Like, surely the townspeople would still talk about it amongst themselves quietly.
Yeah, quietly.
And do you think the person who did do it is maybe seen as a bit of a hero?
Yeah, I wonder.
And so, like, they walk into the grocery store and people just kind of, you know, give them a nod?
Yeah, give them a nod.
You know?
I wonder.
That's, yeah, that is fascinating.
It sounds like the town's pretty much died out, though.
I feel like I'm almost on the town side.
Oh, I 100% am.
Okay, I felt like maybe I was a bad person.
I kind of feel like if it was as we've sort of talked about it today, and he wasn't just a guy who was demonized somehow. Like, I'm sort of taking this at face value, what I've read. But I'm always, part of me is like, you know, history is always pretty dicey. It's written by the victors.
Yeah. And I think that's, I'm taking it as a story. I'm thinking of it almost as a film. Like, in my head, it's all set like To Kill a Mockingbird. Like, that's how I'm picturing it. I'm even picturing really old cars and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, there was a TV film made about it called In Broad Daylight, because that's when the murder happened. That, I mean, that's the fact. It was like mid late morning.
Yeah.
Sun shining, heaps of people standing around watching.
So to me, it's just a story or just like a movie. So you kind of like, yeah, you side with the town. But if I was the journalist covering this, I would be thinking about it very differently to how I am as a complete outsider, just hearing it as a story.
It really sounds like the author kind of, I think the author of the book, who probably has looked into it the most, he seems to be pretty comfortable, I think, with what the town did.
Yeah.
But I guess you'd also, I think it'd be hard because you'd be in there talking to the townspeople, hearing them tell you how fucked it was.
Yeah.
So you're possibly just going to, you know, get even more.
And there's that group mentality where nobody's going to be like, you know what, he wasn't that bad. I feel for the guy. You're not going to get that. Everybody would be like, yep, it was the right thing. I don't know.
Amazing. I mean, Trina definitely did say that he wasn't the monster that they made him out to be.
Yeah, and maybe he wasn't. I don't know. And I think it's pretty amazing that people come together like that, though. So to think of it that way, for all of those people to keep their mouth shut this whole time, I think maybe he was the bad person that, you know? Because if he was maybe not that bad, then there'd be a portion of the community who would go, oh, that didn't seem right.
And plus, I don't think there's any doubt that he impregnated a teenager.
Yeah.
And
he still shot people.
He shot people, it sounds like, for very little reason.
Yeah, so he wasn't a good person.
No, he's definitely... I think he definitely was a real bad guy.
Yeah.
It reminds me of this Hercule Poirot, Agatha Christie story.
Fucking hell.
Death on the Nile.
I wouldn't say which one it is because I don't want to ruin it for people if they ever watched the show or read the book, but...
they're watching along going, all right, I mean, Dave was talking about some very specific things and they're happening in this episode, but maybe that was also in another episode.
Because he didn't name it.
It just turns out that this guy gets stabbed, a lot of stab wounds, and that it turns out that everyone did it, and they all did it together, and they all, because he was this really bad guy, he'd done something to a kid, like child kidnapping or something, and they all lined up and one after another just stabbed him.
Oh, what?
So when he was interviewing everyone, like, everyone's so tight-lipped because they all did it. Right. And like that firing squad thing, no one knows who the actual final one was.
Yeah.
Because he's probably dead by the last few ones, so you don't know. Yeah. Fuck, so she was amazing, though.
Is that a good story?
Such a good one.
Yeah.
So, man, I love it.
Okay, mate.
But yeah, it just reminds me of that. You know, when you're practically, it doesn't really matter who shot him.
Mm.
They're all kind of in on it.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm. A great story.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Really, really, really thought that was great.
Yes. So thank you so much, Josh, for that sweet suggestion. Really appreciate it.
Let us know whose side you're on. That would be cool, wouldn't it? If people want to tweet in. Don't you think that's kind of cool? I want it because I'm 100% on the town side. Jess seems like she's pretty much Matt's a bit in the gray.
No, I think I definitely feel like if there's a guy, I feel like I probably would have been in that headspace as well. But
yeah, I don't know.
It just also you're like, you kind of, for our society to work, we need to trust the law on some level, right?
Yeah.
Or do we?
Revolution.
Are we talking revolution?
Yeah, we're talking revolution.
All right, I'm in.
Okay, great.
Doesn't take a lot to talk me around. Yeah. But
just drop that R word. He loves it.
Revolution.
Whoa.
Now we're going to wrap up this episode by thanking everyone that supports the show through Patreon. Appreciate everyone who does that. Chips in a little bit. Even if you think this show is worth $1 or $2 a month to keep the cogs spinning and the reports getting... make them get written.
It's not... No bullshit. It definitely keeps the show going, that support, because it means we can afford to... For me personally, it means I can spend a couple of days writing a report and justify it.
Cause yeah,
I
getting sucked into
buy
it.
Buy food for those 2 days. And sometimes drinks.
Sometimes little treats.
Oh.
We appreciate all the treats that we can get from your $1, $2, $5, $10 a month. Appreciate all that. And you get rewards in return. We do bonus stuff on the Patreon feed, like newsletters and bonus episodes, all that kind of stuff. Patreon.com/DoGoOnPod if you too want to fight the good fight and support the show. And we'd like to say thank you to 3 patrons now.
I like how you framed that as fighting the good fight. That's real fun.
Keep fighting the good fight, Patreon.
It's really misleading, but it is a lot of fun. I'd love to thank... would you mind me kicking it off, Dave?
No, please.
So, yeah, I'd love to thank Beware the Locals. I think that's it's a group fronted by Dempsey Tapley over in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I've looked them up. We hear from Dempsey a little bit on the social media networks, such as Twitter. And
et cetera.
But I've looked up Beware the Locals, in case you were interested. It's
I'm not. Next.
I am, though.
Kidding.
It's all about...
What a quip.
The local art scene in Sioux Falls. And,
Beware the Locals. I get it.
Beware the Locals.
Well,
yeah.
We'd love to be a local, and we are closing in very slowly on that... $7,000 Patreon target.
We've got to go to Sioux Falls.
To make us be able to tour the USA.
I'm just looking at a photo of it. It looks amazing. Let's go to Sioux Falls.
Okay, deal. While you're booking our tickets to Sioux Falls, I would also like to thank another Patreon listener who supports the show, and that is the wonderful William Flood. Billy Flood.
Oh, Billy Flood.
If you hate Billy, I am so sorry.
Willie Flood.
Willie Flood. Oh, no. That is... You should see a doctor.
Will, what happened last night? Oh, I had a Willie Flood.
My Willie is flooding.
Willie Flood or won't he? is what I thought you were doing, but I'm glad you didn't, because that would have been awful.
But thank you, William.
Interesting. So we've had the Sioux Falls, which is this beautiful waterfall. Now we've got a William Flood.
Yep.
Dave, are you going to keep it in that wet, moist sort of category?
Well, if you want to keep your water at an optimum temperature, you're going to need a thermometer. And I don't like to keep my thermometer with the Celsius. I like to go Fahrenheit. Kevin Fahrenheit.
Oh my God, he's good.
Kevin Farren.
I didn't know how he was going to do it, and he did.
It was only 7 or 8 steps, he got it back.
Yeah, but I couldn't do that.
No, you couldn't.
If you said,
Jessica,
keep it in the wet thing, I'd be like, no, I'm going to say
like,
thanks to Kevin. Because I'm an idiot.
Kevin Farren, big fan of you. You're a great guy.
Thanks,
from
Kevin.
Tacoma, Washington.
Tacoma.
Oh, Tacoma.
Maybe, do you have a waterfall, Kevin? Let us know.
Bet you bloody do.
No, we appreciate your support, Kev.
Kev,
mate. Kev, Billy, Beware the Locals. You're all cool.
You're all great.
All great people.
Thanks
so much for supporting. You guys are lovely.
Thanks, gang.
If we had to murder someone, do you reckon our Patreon people would keep their lips shut?
Definitely
I reckon
not.
That.
Definitely
no,
not.
They're
no.
Trustworthy. Trustworthy.
Very trustworthy. So trustworthy that we're going to go up to Sydney to visit them soon.
That's right.
That's how much we trust them. That we know Sydney exists.
See, Dave and I can do the segues.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know we are going to talk about that. We are trying to lock in a Sydney live show.
I reckon we will have locked it in by the time this is out, which makes me bring it up pretty stupid. Dates will be on the internet. If you look up our Facebook, Where can you find us on Facebook, Dave?
Facebook, we are at togoonpod, facebook.com/togoonpod. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at togoonpod, but all the links to this and our Patreon are below in the description of the episode. And email is togoonpod@gmail.com. Yeah.
I might, and if we have figured out dates, I might even just drop them in after this.
Mr. Blanc.
I'll put them in now. Hi, this is Matt later on. Nah, it's still me. Good on ya.
No, but put it in now.
But please.
Hey, how's it? Oh, bloody. Why is Dave here in the future?
I just want to say, please, Duke in Sydney, or if you're in New South Wales around the Sydney area, please come on in to see us do a live show. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be great.
That'd be super cool.
Because if that goes well, then we can do the rest of Australia, and if that goes well, then we can do the rest of the world.
We're going to do them. We're going to visit them.
I'm going to do them. One by one. Form a line.
Dave, no.
Oh, consensual.
Oh, Dave, stop talking.
Oh, Jesus. How did the word consensual make that worse? I just don't know.
I mean, they're forming
this.
A line.
Yeah.
Surely consent was...
Yeah, good call. They don't have to. But still, okay, well, they're not Dave, but everyone else. What are you doing? Yeah,
why are you lining up for this?
You dirty sickos.
Nah, they're not sick. They're just giving in to nature.
Oh.
Look, I don't know how we got here, but we are, and we have to leave now. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. We do appreciate all your correspondence and topic ideas, because, for example, we would never have heard, I doubt we would have ever come across that story if it hadn't been suggested.
Yeah.
So if you know something that's from your local area, if you're from a different country to us and you know a story, we have a lot of listeners like in Sweden and stuff. Is there any cool local stories we could do about your area? Let us know.
We do tend to hit up UK and American stories mainly.
Yeah, we'd love
mainly.
To do like overseas ones, like stuff in Asia.
Overseas ones. Yeah, unlike outside of America and the UK.
You know, but to them, we are overseas. Uh-huh. That's how it works. It goes
about
both ways.
Like that.
We are exotic to them.
What?
They think this accent is adorable.
No, they don't.
That's why they're forming a line.
Oh.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. I will say until next week.
But before we go, Jess.
Damn it. I was hoping you'd forget.
D&G, what do you got?
The G, I wanted to go for goats, but then I couldn't think of a D that went with that. And then just then when Dave was saying that, I was groaning. I was like, the groan, something in groans. Fuck, I hate this game so much. Dave, you've got another one, don't you?
Dracula and Goblins?
Fuck you.
Dracula and Goblins.
That's pretty cool.
It's not bad.
It's pretty good. All right, I'm going to leave a little bit of space here for the music, and then after the music, Jess will come back to yours. A little secret bit at the end. Anyway, thanks so much for listening, everybody. Goodbye and laters.
Bye.
Bye. The dark and gloomy.
That's good.
Good.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hello. And welcome. That's how she became the nanny. I'm really going to do it. Are you ready, Matt?
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.